As the old saying goes, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. But eat enough apples in their entirety and you could, in theory, risk cyanide poisoning from all those pips. But now we know the ingredients of a good poison, low fatal quantities, being hard to detect, do we have any good, or should I say bad, candidates? The history books may be a good place to start looking. Chemist and author John Emsley knows his primitive poisons. He explained how the Victorians' poison of choice was one readily available in the pharmacy, which meant some rules had to be put in place.
To purchase poisons from a pharmacist, you had to sign the poisons register, and the pharmacist had to recognise who you were. You couldn't just walk into any shop and buy it. And so that was done because there were too many murders, mainly with something like arsenic, as its oxide was known as white arsenic, and this was widely used as a vermin poison and things like this. Colouring agents could be made from it. So it was available. Because it was available, it was being used to dispose of unwanted relatives and things like that.
Okay, so are there any particularly famous cases of this?
Well, there's some very famous cases in history, but going back even earlier to the 17th century, the Marquise de Brinvilliers in France murdered her relatives to secure the family income. And she was only detected because the man who was supplying it, her lover, supplying the poison, suddenly died and they discovered her letters. And the thing about that was, this is one of the first cases in which someone was asked to prove that the powder they detected was the deadly poison. And so that was in 1676. And a pharmacist in Paris devised a set of tests to prove that what they'd found was actually arsenic, and it worked, and she was found guilty and executed.
But what is it fundamentally about arsenic that makes it such an effective poison?
The thing is, it's in the same group at the periodic table as phosphorus. And phosphates, of course, are essential in lots of parts of the human body, you know, from DNA upwards. And, of course, if you put arsenic there, the body can recognise arsenic and thinks it's getting phosphate. So you can, it will introduce arsenic at all sorts of points. And then, of course, these things won't behave they should behave, and very quickly you're made very ill. And the body recognises arsenic as something it doesn't want very quickly, but not before it's absorbed quite a lot of it. And then, of course, it screws up various parts of your body and you'll die. With a big enough dose, you'll die within a day or so. It will attach itself to something called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. And if it does that, then it really interferes because ATP is needed in every cell of the body. Then things begin to break down because you need ATP to generate energy in your heart, for example. If you can't generate enough energy, then of course you're going to be in real trouble.
So the chemical element arsenic's availability and toxicity made it the perfect poison of the day. But it could be detected. So could a poisoner try to mask their ill intentions by using a substance that is already found naturally in the body?
Well, adrenaline is one that has been used in murders. The chemical name for it is epinephrine. And this, of course, the body produces, and it produces a lot of this if you're under sudden stress.
This is the fight and flight response, isn't it?
This is yes. If you're having a heart attack, they may give you this to stimulate the heart, keep it going. It's not something you would normally think of as being a poison, but it has been used by nurses. Nurses, of course, have access to it, and those are the ones who generally murdered with adrenaline, because they know if you give too much adrenaline, it's going to overstimulate the heart, and the heart will pack up. The serial killer nurse called Kristen Gilbert actually probably killed about 50 of her patients with adrenaline. She worked at the Veterans Hospital in Northampton in Massachusetts. And she did it for a variety of reasons. If the persons began to annoy her, then she would give them an overdose. Often these people were very ill, and so it was just put down to the person had died of natural causes. But eventually she got rather careless in that if it was somebody in intensive care and she wanted to go out with her boyfriend and the person in intensive care couldn't be left, she would give them an overdose of adrenaline and pass them on to the next world. It's not known exactly how many people she dealt with, but it was probably around 50 before she was finally caught. And the thing about that was it became so common, this occurrence of people she was supposed to be looking after suddenly dying, that they began to investigate. Other nurses said there's something odd about this. I think they called her the Angel of Death or something like that. They began then to analyse the body, and of course it was able to detect there was far more adrenaline in the body of the dead person than the body itself could have actually produced. And they were able to go back and analyse samples from bodies that had been dead 2 or 3 years, and there was still excess adrenaline.
So despite being a chemical that pre-exists in the body, even adrenaline can't stay hidden for long when given in lethal doses. So how about something so deadly, something which is needed in such a small quantity to cause harm, that it's virtually undetectable?
Well, the thing about polonium chloride is that it's radioactive, but it gives off only alpha particles. Now, alpha particles are relatively harmless. A sheet of paper will stop an alpha particle. It doesn't give off gamma rays. Now, gamma rays are the things that you can use a Geiger counter to detect. With polonium, it was possible, the Russian secret police found, to pass through the parts of airports where, you know, you go through a thing and it's going to detect if there's anything radioactive on you. They could pass through that. So they were using this to dispose of people. Now, the amount of polonium you need to kill someone is so tiny, it's difficult to see. It's as small as a mote of dust. It is that deadly.
Polonium is radioactive. Once inside the body, the alpha particles emitted by polonium can make their way into cells, damage DNA, and cause cell death.
Now, we know our cells have got a wonderful repair mechanism that's being used all the time because, you know, cells are needing repair. And of course, it can be repaired, but not when you're giving off something like 100 million of these particles a second. Then there's no way the body's going to be able to cope with that. Now, the most famous poisoning of this was someone called Alexander Litvinenko. And he came to Britain. He was a KGB agent, of course, and after the end of the Soviet Union, a lot of people from Russia could then come and live in Britain. He came to Britain and he was granted asylum because he said, I was ex-KGB, and he was able to tell the British secret people a lot about it. And so we took him in and he was given another name. He was called Edwin Redwalt Carter. And he was given a house for him and his family in Muswell Hill in London. And he began to lead a quite anonymous life. The trouble was, when he was visited by his wife's mother, she went back to Russia and the police there knew who she was. They searched her luggage and they found out details of who he was and where he lived. And so they then sent another agent to London to dispose of him. And that agent came with polonium chloride. He was an old friend of, friend in inverted commas, of Litvinenko, and invited Litvinenko to the Millennium Hotel where he was staying in London. And there he had green tea with polonium chloride in it. And of course, the following day he began to feel ill. The doctor diagnosed gastroenteritis, you know, the usual reaction to something you've eaten. Put him into hospital, he got no better. Sent down to University College Hospital because he obviously was seriously ill. His hair began to fall out, which is sometimes a sign of thallium poisoning. And thallium's a deadly metal, but they tested for thallium. No, it wasn't thallium. And so they knew his hair was falling out because of radiation damage. The chemists, the scientists detected polonium, and suddenly it was obvious what was killing Alexander Litvinenko, and he died after about 3 weeks in hospital.
Death by radiation. No taste, no smell, and given in minuscule quantities. It's polonium's volatility that led to its detection. Once identified, scientists were able to detect the traces it left behind on various surfaces, even including the seat in Arsenal Football Stadium where the killer had sat to watch a match.
We are only talking now of a few atoms, and yet there it is and there it can be detected. Even that supposedly undetectable poison that the Russians were using is now no longer in that category of undetectable.
John Emsley there.